produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage. Hello, hello, hello there. I'm Juliette Davis, and welcome to The Living Room. I'm so glad you were able to join me in this special space. You know, I believe that whenever you are engaged in conversation that involves some sharing, some vulnerability, and even some insight, some wisdom, and some experience, then that is a good place to be. It's a special place. And that's how I envision the living room. It's the place where intimate conversations are life-changing. So this is a great opportunity to learn from somebody else or to glean from someone else's journey or just to listen to something that's going to encourage and inspire. That's what we promise to do here in the living room. Every single time you tune in, that's what you're going to get. You're going to get information and inspiration. And then you're also going to get empowerment, because I believe that you've got to take that information and inspiration and do something with it. So once again, welcome to the living room. Hey, last month we had a great conversation. Well, I did some sharing and I talked about how it's working for me. And the scriptural reference for that sharing was found in Romans 8:28, where it says, "And we know that all things work together for the good for them who love the Lord and those who are called according to His purpose." And so I know that when stuff is going on around you and you don't quite understand, you look back at that passage of scripture and you want to go, really? But I can tell you from experience that even though you might not see it today, it is working for you. And so this month's broadcast, we're going to talk about something else that I think will encourage you and empower you. We're going to talk about faithfulness. That's right. In a time when things are changing so rapidly that you can hardly keep account, in a time where the weather is doing crazy things and there are all kinds of things happening and shifting and changing in our world, both on a global basis as well as on a domestic level. And I am convinced that the only way you and I are going to make it through all of this is that we hold on to the stuff that we know is sure. The things that we know are true and tried in the furnace of affliction. Those things that we know for sure are the things that are going to keep us in times like these. So, yes, we're talking about faithfulness. So if you got a friend, you've got a neighbor, you've got a loved one that you think needs to hear this, send them a text, please, quickly, and tell them to tune in to the living room, because this is going to be one of those episodes that I think will be worthy of hearing again in the days ahead. So not just another broadcast. No, no. Today we're going to talk about faithfulness, and specifically the faithfulness of God. So let's talk about first what comes to mind when you think about the word faithfulness. Some say loyalty, some would say consistency, some would say commitment, others would say a long-standing, protracted, overtime behavior. So however you might define it, let me say how I choose to define it for today's broadcast. It is a lasting loyalty and trustworthiness that can be found in relationships. It's also being dedicated and steadfast to performing one's duty. You can also define it as a steadfastness or a fidelity. It can even be used in the context of trust. So all of these words help us to shape and form a definition of the word faithfulness. But I specifically today want to target and focus on the faithfulness of God. And here's why. I know that, as I said earlier, there's a lot going on right now. I can tell you that I am talking to people from various walks of life, and it seems as though everybody is challenged in some way with things that are constantly changing. I know that it is not something that we're accustomed to, but these last 2+ years have been tumultuous. Would you agree? So the way that I said earlier that you and I are going to make it is if we're going to anchor ourselves in the knowledge and in the truth of what we know will not change. Well, there's only one that I know who will not change, who is immutable. That means that he changes not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And that is the Lord our God. And while many of you have knowledge of God, you have relationship with God, you even love God, sometimes we have to be reminded of the stuff we already know so that we can hold fast to that, even when things are going awry in our lives. So the first scripture reference that I want to talk to you about, and I do want you to get your iPad and your iPhone and your Android, if you will, have it open to your Bible app, because we're going to go some places today that will help you to, again, be reminded of his faithfulness. The first passage is found in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. That says, I proclaim the name of the Lord. I ascribe the greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice, righteousness and upright is he. He is a God of faithfulness. I love that. I can hold on to that. Because that is not just who he is, but can I say this? It is what he does and who he is. It is the embodiment of who he is. He is faithful. And so that's something that we start this conversation off with, establishing that he is faithful. So let's take a look at a few passages to talk to us more about how he's faithful in our everyday lives. Well, Isaiah 25:1 reminds us that he is faithful from the very beginning. That passage tells us that I will exalt and praise your name for imperfect faithfulness. You have done wonderful things that you planned a long time ago. And so that long time ago references the context of the time in which he began to be faithful. He's been faithful from the beginning. Amen. He's been faithful from the beginning, and not just faithful, but perfect faithfulness. And that perfect just simply means complete. It means long. It means steadfast. That's how faithful he's been. And he's been that way from the beginning because he's planned things for us. And he did it a long time ago. I don't know about you, but that is good news today, that his faithfulness towards me is something that he planned and he has been doing a long time. The second thing I want to tell you about his faithfulness is that his faithfulness is fueled by love. What do I mean by that? Lamentations 3, verses 23 and 24 says, "For the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end, for they are new every morning." New every morning. And so in other words, it's his love that is connected to his faithfulness. And so when we think about the origin of a thing, when we think about the purpose of a thing, when we think about how something gets started, you have to think about love, because that is the thing that fuels, that causes his faithfulness to thrive in our lives. If you think about that from a natural perspective, just take a moment. Think about how you feel about somebody that you love and that you are faithful to. You want to make sure that you're there for them. You want to make sure that you are able to almost anticipate their needs so that you can be able to provide for them and care for them and to make sure that everything runs smoothly. At least that's our intent. It doesn't always work out that way, but that's our intent. That's the kind of love that I'm talking about. That agape, that unconditional love, that covenant love, that covenant love. That's the kind of love that he has for us, and that is what fuels his faithfulness. The third thing I want to tell you about his faithfulness is that it protects us from internal threats. His faithfulness protects us from internal threats. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. For our God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when tempted, he will always provide a way of escape so that you can endure it." Once again, notice in the text, God is faithful. He is so faithful that he understands that each and every one of us will encounter temptations. And that temptation is what I have described as an internal threat. You see, that's an inside job. When there is something that attracts your attention, there is something that you enjoy, that is something that is alluring to you, that is an internal threat. And because he loves us so much, I'm back to that love again. He knows the challenges that we face. He knows our makeup, and he knows that there'll be days when we'll be tempted. And he says that I have already provided a way of escape for the temptation. And so I understand it. I anticipate it. I know that it's going to happen, and I've already provided a way out. That is how faithful he is. I believe today that you ought to just stop and take a moment and thank God for his faithfulness, because there are so many times in our lives that we were tempted, and so many times that, let's be honest, that we gave in to the temptation and we had to learn from that experience so that we didn't continue to travel down that pathway. And he says, even in the midst of that, beloved, I have provided a way of escape. So he's protecting us. That's how faithful he is. He's not only protecting us from the internal threats, but he's protecting us from the external threats. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3 says that the Lord is faithful, and that he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Wow. Get that. He is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Oh, that's good news today, because we know that we have an adversary whose job, whose assignment is to kill and to steal and to destroy. And once we understand that, then we know that we need protection. And this passage of scripture reminds us that he will not only protect us, but he will strengthen us. And I want to pay attention to that, because he could have just said, protect us. Think about it. He could have just said, eliminate the threat altogether. But he said, no, I will protect you and I will strengthen you. And I believe that that strengthening comes from the fact that we are able to pay attention to those threats. And he gives us the ability to stand, and having done all, stand, to put on the whole armor of God, that we might not be able to, that we would be able to stand in the evil day. And so that is a form of strengthening us. Not only that, but I believe that he strengthens us so that we might then go and strengthen the brethren. You remember when David sinned with Bathsheba, and he came to God in the 91st Psalm and repented for his sin. And he said that not only will I be restored, but I will go back and strengthen the brethren. I believe that that's what this passage is telling us, that God will protect us, but he will also strengthen us so that each time we endure the attacks of the enemy, each time we are subjected to the pitfalls and the snares that the enemy sets up for us, we will learn from those experiences, and then we will not only be strengthened, but there'll be others who we will pass that on to, and they too will be strengthened. And this last thing that I want to share with you today, related to his faithfulness, is that he is faithful to forgive our sins. He is faithful to forgive our sins. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and then to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My. Now, when you think about this passage, I want you to think about it from the standpoint of, first of all, looking at that word if. If doesn't say that it is something that you consistently do, but it's saying that when you do this, if you apply this, if you do this, here's the corresponding action from that. So if you confess your sins, well, let's stop there. Confession is simply agreeing with God that what you have done is not in keeping with what he would have for you to do, that it is not in keeping with what he has ordained and ordered for you to do. So when you confess your sins, you are agreeing with God. Now, let me say this, that many times we confess our sins to one another, and I don't have an issue with that, as long as you are mindful and wise about who you confess your sins to, because everybody can handle your confession. And sometimes you're making a problem much more complicated when you confess your sins without really asking God to lead and guide you to who you might be able to confess your sins to. But having said that, the confession is important, because what it does is it sets you back on the right track with God. It puts you back in alignment with God, because what you're doing is you're agreeing with God. He says that when you do that, guess what? He's going to do something. He's going to be faithful and just to forgive you of your sin. My God, what a beautiful promise that is. I want you to really take a moment and just take that in, that he says that if you confess, if you come clean, if you're open, if you're vulnerable, if you're transparent with me about your sin, then I will be faithful and just to forgive you. Oh, it reminds me of how when I was growing up and my parents would often ask one of us, you know, who did this or who's responsible for this? And it was always a challenge to, you know, step forward and say, hey, I did this, or I'm responsible for this. But the moment that that took place, that's when we could move to the next part of that scenario. But it was difficult to move to the next part of whatever that scenario was without the confession, without the admission that something here went wrong. So God is saying to us today, beloved, if you confess your sins, that he will respond as faithful and just. That word just is a legal term, and it literally means justice. It literally means that he will administer justice on your behalf. And so that is what I want you to have in your mind when you think about the faithfulness of God, that he's faithful to forgive your sins. I can remember counseling a young lady who felt as though she had done something that was unforgivable. And as she talked about how this issue had taunted her and weighed heavily on her, I began to ask her to unpack why she felt that God could not forgive her. And we went to this very passage of scripture, and I shared with her that he promises to be faithful and just to forgive her. But then there was a second part that she wasn't aware of. And I shared with her that not only will he forgive you of your sins, but then he will deal with the residue that's left over from the sin. He'll deal with the stuff that hangs around after the sin. Or can I say, the things that are in your life as a result of the sin, you know, the things that you have allowed to get down on the inside of you and cause you to feel unworthy and inadequate. We talked about that. And I told her that that last part of that scripture where he says that he will cleanse us, or one translation says purify us from all unrighteousness, it means that those things that are not in right standing with God, he will literally cleanse us from those things that have hung around as a result of the sin, the thinking. I call it the stinking thinking that we often engage in when we have not forgiven ourselves and we have not accepted the forgiveness that we have from God, that those thoughts hang around. And that passage assures us that he is able to wipe that slate clean and to forgive us from all unrighteousness. Oh, I'm so glad today that God is faithful. I'm so glad that he's not temperamental like the times that we're living in. I'm so glad that he's not sometimes up and sometimes down, and you know the rest, sometimes leveled to the ground. I'm so glad that he's not that kind of God, but that he is steadfast and unmovable, always abounding. He's an anchor. He's a rock. Glory to God. He's that rock that we stand on. And for that reason, that is where we need to lock in and anchor ourselves so that we're not given to every wind of doctrine, so that we're not moved by, you know, the things that we hear in the news or the things that we see with our own eyes or the challenges that we might face, that we have to be reminded on an everyday basis of the faithfulness of God. Can I tell you something as we close tonight? I have thought about some decisions that I made 6 or 7 years ago. And I remember feeling that uncertainty. I remember feeling that I didn't quite know how this was going to play out. Have you ever been in a situation like that where you knew that you had to make a decision, but you weren't quite sure how it would play out? And I can assure you that in that moment, I prayed and I fasted and I asked God for his direction. And now that I can look from this side of the situation, now that I can look at it from 7 years out, I can tell you that God's faithfulness was so real in my life that there were days when I didn't know how things were going to be paid. There were times when I didn't know how, you know, certain circumstances were going to work out. And because God is faithful, he showed up right on time. So my word to you in this season of uncertainty, in this season of constant changes, hang on to the faithfulness of God. Hold on to the fact that he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And don't allow yourself to be moved or wavered by anything else, because this faithfulness is tried and it's true. This faithfulness is a very present help in the time of trouble. This faithfulness is what will keep you if you want to be kept. So, beloved, keep your faith in line. Keep your faith on a level. Be reminded today of his faithfulness and know that he's got you because he is faithful. Oh, I hope this word was a blessing to you tonight. I can tell you that I was encouraged just even sharing it with you. I was encouraged as I thought about some things that I have on my plate even today, that I need the faithfulness of God to come through. So allow yourself, you know, to be encouraged by this word. If you want to respond to this message or reach me, please, please follow up. I can be reached on social media under the name of Juliet Davis or Juliet Davis Ministries, or you can find me on Instagram under the name of True_journey. You can also send me an email at destiny, destiny, empower, empower, @gmail.com. And many of you have sent emails, and I certainly appreciate that. And I look forward to hearing from you again. So as we close out this session, I just want you to know that the living room has been truly encouraging and inspiring tonight. And I hope you'll come by and see me again in the living room next month. I close with these words because I know that they are true. The word of God has transformation power. May his word change your life forever.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Ewing Moving and Storage. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Chat and Chuckle with Keita Keet. I will be your host this evening, Keita Keet. Thank you so much for joining me this evening. You could have been anywhere, but you decided to join me tonight, and I just want to say thank you. To all of my first-time listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. And listen, if you ever want to get in contact with me, ever want to send a shout-out, or even if you have any prayer requests, or if you just like to say, Keita, I really like what you're doing, keep what you're doing, keep on doing what you're doing, I can be reached at lovetomakeyoulaugh@yahoo.com. And I can also be reached on social media on Facebook as well as Instagram under Keita Keet, and that is KETTAKEET. All right. So we're just going to jump right into tonight's show. Tonight's topic it's something that has really been on my heart and in my spirit and on my mind for the past week, maybe going on 2 weeks or so. And it's something that that the Lord has really been speaking to me about. And it's something that is to help me. But I pray that whoever this is for, that it helps you as well. And the topic tonight we're going to be talking about is people pleasing. I'm coming to realize that definitely as I get older, definitely as I have more life experiences and coming in contact with different people and having relationships and things of that nature, that I have discovered that many people, good-hearted people, are people pleasers. Just want to throw this out here real quick, too. Shout out to my sister, Tammy Terrell, who designed a T-shirt that specifically says no people pleasing. It has the word the words people pleasing with the circle and the line going through. It's like it's prohibited. Because we were, having a conversation one day, about this particular topic and how people pleasing can really have a negative impact on people. And it's important for us to be God pleasers and not people pleasers. Okay, so this is where we're going to go tonight, and I pray that you all are blessed by what you hear and by what God is giving me about this particular topic. I first want to start off from the scripture where this particular topic is based from, and it's based in Galatians chapter 1. Verse 10, and I'm going to read from the NLT version. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking. And again, this is Galatians 1, verse 10. Apostle Paul says, obviously, comma, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. Those are very powerful words coming from the Apostle Paul. And he's making it very clear that he is not a people pleaser, but very much a God pleaser. He is Christ's servant. And so people pleasing is not his goal. I want to say that in people pleasing, and those who, those who have, this mindset to do so. I know you heard me mention previously that I know of some really good hearted people because they have great hearts. They want to, they want to complete these tasks. They have a hard time with saying no. They don't want to disappoint other people. And that's understandable to an extent. But when it starts getting to the point that you want to impress or please people to the detriment of your own mental wellness, emotional wellness, physical wellness, even spiritual wellness, it has now become a problem. And I think many of us, because, you know, we just don't want to disappoint people, we will, you know, we will push the limits and don't set those boundaries. I really think it's important for us. This is what the Lord has definitely been speaking to me lately, too, to not be emotionally led, but to be spirit led. And by that, I mean that we need to be depending and leaning on the Holy Spirit when it comes to our assignments. I think it's imperative that we need to be seeking God on what our assignment is, who our assignment is, or what our purpose is, versus us being emotionally led and have our emotions be pulled on, and we're emotionally led to help others, when the truth of the matter is that may not be where God said for us to help. That may not be where God have us to be, or where our, you know, where our assignment is. So it is imperative that as believers that we are leaning on the Holy Spirit and His counsel, and to hear clearly from God. Because this is one thing that I've also have come to understand, that God is not going to have you so beat down, so burnt out when it comes to the things of God. He doesn't want us toiling. He doesn't want us, you know, and I know that this is something that we hear all the time, you know, that, you know, with the grinding and the hustling. But the truth of the matter is, God doesn't want us toiling. God don't want us grinding. God doesn't want us hustling. He does want us to put in the work, but He does not want us to the point of toil, grind, hustle, sickness, stress, disease. And so when we start kind of going that way, that's how you know that I think we have kind of crossed over to people pleasing and not being pleasers of God. So real quick, I know I gave you the scripture reference, Galatians 1 and 10, and you definitely can go read that for yourself. But I did find this website, and you can definitely check this out for yourself as well. It is empoweredandthriving.com. And they have an article on this website entitled Stop People Pleasing, 7 Simple Ways. Okay, so here's some practical ways for those of us who are challenged in that area of being a people pleaser. Again, this website is empoweredandthriving.com, and the article is entitled Stop People Pleasing. 7 Simple Ways. Okay. And so I just want to mention a few things that they have on the site. And I thought this was really, really good. Okay. And it starts off and says, people pleasers put everyone else's needs and wishes before their own. It's difficult for them to say no, because their own worth and value is tied to how much they do for others. It makes them feel important and needed, and saying yes is almost like a drug that feeds an addiction to feel important. A people pleaser also dreads letting others down and being seen in a bad light. So it's important that they be seen as someone who will always be a yes man or yes woman. Their inability to stop people pleasing, however, comes at a high cost. Okay, and they list some of the downsides of being a people pleaser. Number one, there's no time for yourself. And I'm just going to go quickly down this list. People pleasers feel drained. Number three, people take advantage of you. All right. So this is the short list of the downside of being a people pleaser. So if you kind of fall into that category, if you kind of, like, you know, do some reflecting and say, you know, I do, you know, I do kind of cross over that boundary of people pleasing. I mean, you have no time for yourself, or, you know, you don't make yourself a priority, or, you know, you don't implement self-care. People pleasing, it, you know, makes you feel drained. Or if you have started noticing or recognizing people taking advantage of you, this is the time to kind of take stock in that, to see, you know, have you kind of crossed over in that people pleasing arena. Okay. All right. So, the website goes on to, give, though there are downsides, there are also ways that you can stop being a people pleaser. Okay. So they list 7 strategies to stop people pleasing. All right. Number one, give yourself time to decide. All right. It says, not only do people pleasers find it difficult to say no, but they usually say yes without hesitation. This is almost always leads to regret. Instead of giving in right away, give yourself time by saying, let me get back to you. It's not as scary as turning them down, but it gives you time to think about it and avoid committing to something you really do not want to do. And I will tell you this, I have experienced this where I have, you know, someone has asked me to do something. I have stopped to say, you know what, let me check that, or let me check that date and I'll get back to you, because that gives me time to think about it. Also gives me time to pray and make sure that this is something that the Lord wants me to do. You know, because, you know, like it says, we want to say yes, you know, without hesitation, but it may not be something that we should be saying yes to right now. Okay, so I have definitely been there. I can definitely vouch for this. All right. Number two, set boundaries to stop people pleasing. I know that B word, boundaries, is a bad word to some people. But I am all for setting boundaries. Okay. So number two, set boundaries to stop people pleasing. It says, decide that there are just some things you will not do anymore and stick to them. You can still do for others, but you don't have to do everything for others. Start out by listing things that make you feel uncomfortable, frustrated, and stressed out. There are clues to where you need to set boundaries. Then, for each of your boundaries, formulate a statement that is clear and precise that the other person will understand. This way, you are not backtracking or making weak excuses when you are sticking to your boundaries. Okay, and I understand that this is definitely a challenge for many of us, setting boundaries, because a lot of times we will set a boundary and then pick it back up. So it's important to set the boundary and leave it there. Okay, but it also says to formulate a statement that is clear and precise that the other person will understand. So communication is highly important in this area. Okay, to communicate effectively, to let the other person know what your boundaries are. So communication and setting boundaries go hand in hand. Okay. Number three, be assertive. This may be hard for most people pleasers, but it is a skill that is vital if you want to stop people pleasing. People who are used to taking advantage of others do not like taking no for an answer. So be prepared for them to press you until they get the yes that they are used to receiving. You must be assertive in saying no. Utilize the first two strategies for help with this. Give yourself time and review your boundaries. If they are insistent, say, let me get back to you. Then with that time, remember the reasons why you set those boundaries in the first place. Being assertive doesn't mean you have to be aggressive about saying no. You can be assertive by giving yourself time, but still being true to your decision. Okay. Number four, realize other people's life will go on without your yes. I'm going to repeat that. Realize other people's life will go on without your yes. People pleasers are afraid that if they say no, there will be some sort of catastrophic event, that if they do not babysit, it will ruin someone else's plans. Or if they do not attend the Christmas party, for example, the other person's holiday will be ruined. In actuality, saying no doesn't have as big of an impact that you may think. Life will go on for the other person. And in most cases, the fact that you said no will leave their mind a lot sooner than it leaves yours. Stop looking at yourself as their savior. I'm going to repeat that. Stop looking at yourself as their savior. You are not. If they are disappointed, be okay with it and realize that life will go on for both of you. Okay? Amen. Number 5, stop people pleasing by cultivating internal value. Many people pleasers do for others because it makes them feel good about themselves and makes them feel valuable. While this is okay to an extent, understand that you do not have to get all of your value from others. Focus on finding value from within. Take some time every day to focus on improving your self-worth. Forgive yourself for past mistakes. Give yourself a pat on the back for your daily victories, no matter how small. Stop comparing your life to others. These are some simple ways to cultivate internal value. And I just want to go ahead and extend from this. As believers, we are to find our value in God. We have to understand that we are already valued and validated by God. So it's not for other people to validate us, because God has already done that. Glory to God. So it is in God that we find our value, we find our worth and our validation. Okay. So I just wanted to expand on this. That is good to look within to find our self-worth, but please know and understand that it is through God that we have our worth, our value, and our validation. So we don't need to be validated by other people. Glory to God. Amen. All right. Number 6, become inconvenient. I like this. Become inconvenient. Is there someone in particular who uses you? Do you have someone in mind who takes advantage of you? If so, then it's time to limit your exposure to them. If you are not comfortable cutting them off cold turkey, then limit the time you spend with them. Stop answering their texts right away. Stop responding to their emails. Now, I'm gonna tell y'all, this is a form of self-care, okay? This is a form of self-care. Sometimes, you know, and we have all had this to happen. When we see that phone number pop up on our phone, or we see that text message coming through, and we look and we're like, not today, or at least not right now. It's okay for you not to answer that text message right away. It's okay for you not to answer that phone call right away. All right. So that's why I said I like number 6, become inconvenient. And I'm going to tell you this too. I don't care if you sitting on the sofa watching TV, eating a bowl of popcorn or potato chips or cheesecake or chocolate cake. I think I just made myself hungry, but I don't care what it is. You could be spending time with your family. You could be catching up on, catching up on your shows that you didn't catch up on for the week, you know, because you've been working, you've been serving, you've been at church, ministering, things like that. I don't care if you just have your feet propped up. You are unavailable. Okay? So even if someone calls, even if you get a text, and at that moment is not the best time, you can let them know, I'm sorry, but I'm unavailable right now. Because you are. You're unavailable. And it's okay. All right? Glory to God. And the last strategy that they have listed here is be kind to yourself. It says it's okay to let others down, and it's okay not being someone's savior. That's that sentence again. It's okay not being someone's savior. You are supportive, you are caring, and you will be there when it matters most. So don't beat yourself up if you are not there all the time. Be kind to yourself and give yourself a pass to focus on you for a change. Amen. I know that many of us are challenged in that area as well. We kind of beat ourselves up when we don't, you know, when we feel like that we're not there at that particular moment. But if we ever do some reflecting, we realize that, you know what, we show up, you know, we show up, like it says, when it matters the most, and so I think for many of us that we have to remember to, like it says, give yourself a pass. And what I like to say is show yourself some grace Amen. It's all right to show yourself some grace. Give yourself a pass to focus on you, because here's the thing. You cannot pour from an empty cup. You can't pour from an empty container. Okay. So if you have poured all week, if you have given yourself, whether it's at your job, with your family, in ministry, serving, you know, whatever the case may be, you need to be filled. You can't pour from an empty cup. Okay. My mama said you can't get blood from a turnip. Okay. So, I really still don't know what that means, but okay. But you can't get blood from a turnip. Okay. So you can't pour from an empty cup. And it's important for you to realize where, you know, where you are and where, you know, where you need to be revived. Okay. Where you need to be poured into. And so that is the time to be resting in God, listening to God, to see exactly what it is that he would have for you to do, but also getting physical rest as well, and just practicing self-care and wellness. Okay, that is highly important. Okay, that's why I said that God doesn't want us toiling, but he wants us to, you know, to put in that work, but then once we put in that work, for us to rest in him. Okay, it is highly important. All right. So in conclusion, the article wraps up and says, among many other drawbacks, if you continue being a people pleaser, you will have limited time for yourself. You'll continue feeling both emotionally and physically drained, and people will continue taking advantage of you. Stop people pleasing by giving yourself time to decide, setting boundaries, being assertive, and realizing other people's lives will continue. Also, work on cultivating internal value, becoming inconvenient, and being kind to yourself. These strategies are simple, but they are not all easy. You can stop people pleasing, however, as long as you commit. Amen. So, I just want to wrap tonight's show up with this as well. I want to, just pray, for those who are challenged in this area, but, particularly, those who feel a spirit of rejection. Amen. For those who people please because they have a spirit of rejection, or they have a fear of rejection. They have a fear that if I don't say yes, if I if I don't agree to this particular task or whatever, that people are not going to like me, that I'm not going to be liked, or I'm not going to be loved. And I have to do this in order to feel liked or feel loved. So I want to pray for those, and I don't know who this is for, but if you have a fear of rejection, if you are experiencing a spirit of rejection, please know that God loves you first and foremost, and God hears you. Amen. And that you don't have to fear not being loved. You don't have to fear not being liked or accepted. Number one, God has already accepted you. Amen. Please, if you don't know anything else, please get this revelation. Please get this understanding. God loves you. He has already accepted you. Amen. So you don't have to live with this, you know, with this fear of rejection. Secondly, also just and know this, that God will put people in your life that will love on you, that will accept you, and that are not that you don't have to people please with them, that they will understand your boundaries. You know, because they know how to set boundaries as well. And this is what I also found out too about people. Those who don't know how to set boundaries have a problem with people who do. So, please don't be one of those people. Understand that people set boundaries for, for themselves, but it's a win-win. Okay. Because if they can set a boundary and regroup and get the self-care that they need, they'll be able to help you and to help other people. Amen. Because they can't pour from an empty cup. So God is going to send you those people, those friends, those relationships that will cultivate that relationship with you, but to also help you to set boundaries. It's for your good that God's going to send you people that actually are concerned for you. Okay. Not people who are concerned about just getting what they can out of you. No, God's going to actually send you genuine, real people that love you and that are concerned about you. And so with that, God's going to send you people that will help you to set those boundaries. Amen. So one thing about it, God always has your back. He always has your best interest at heart. So Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, for this time and this opportunity to share your word, Father God, with your people. And I pray, Father God, right now for those who are on the sound of my voice, anyone who may be challenged in the area of people pleasing, I pray, Father God, that you will speak to their hearts and their mind, Father God. Holy Spirit, give them peace. Where there may be anxiety, where there may be fear of saying no and setting boundaries, I pray that you will please give them the peace of God, that they will receive the peace of God. Amen. You've already given them peace. So I pray that they will receive it in the name of Jesus. And as they receive your peace, Father God, I pray, Father God, that they will also receive your love that you have for them, that they will receive your acceptance, Father God, in the name of Jesus. If there is anyone who may be, feeling, self-condemned, if they are condemning themselves, if they have not forgiven themselves, I pray, Father God, that they will forgive themselves, Father God, in the name of Jesus, so they don't feel like that they have to prove themselves to others, that they don't have to people please, God, in the name of Jesus. Those who are experiencing a fear of rejection or a spirit of rejection, that they are feeling that if they don't say no, if they don't set those boundaries, that they fear that no one will love them or stay around or like them, I cast that lie down in the name of Jesus. That is a lie from the pit of hell, and I rebuke it and I cast it down in the name of Jesus. And I loose Holy Spirit and truth. And the truth is that, God, you love them. God, you are love. Your word says you are a good God, and your love and your mercy endures forever. So, God, I pray that they will receive the truth that you love them. And it's through you, Father God, that they found their value, their worth, and their validation. And I thank you, Lord God, that you are sending people in their lives, genuine people that want to have genuine relationships with them, genuine people who are concerned about their well-being. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. And I bless you, Lord God, again, for this time and this opportunity. And it is done and it is so. And we believe it and we thank you. We love you, Lord God. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray and we ask these things. Amen. Well, thank you all so much. That is my time for this evening. Thank y'all again for tuning in tonight. You all have a blessed evening and an awesome weekend. Good night.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers. 1-888-201-5313.